time to ask the pastor. Numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Wonder how long it was, how long ago it was that Diane Summers scheduled our guest for this hour, the executive director of Lutherans for Life, Dr. James Lamb. How long ago did you know that you were going to be on the Bible study today, Doctor?
It wasn't actually that long ago.
Was it before or after the Tiller murder in Nebraska?
It was before that.
Yeah, Kansas. Yeah. So I guess this is fortuitous. That's a big word. I like that word. What went through your mind when you got the news that George Tiller had been murdered in church?
Well, I was shocked at the news, as so many people were. I think that's a pretty common reaction. The nature of the act itself, where it happened, all of those things just kind of accentuated it. And then the other thought, being a leader of a Lutheran pro-life organization, was the damaging effects that this will have upon the pro-life movement in general. And because he was a Lutheran, the possible repercussions for other for pro-life Lutherans.
Have there been repercussions?
Not really. There has been, in terms of Lutherans for Life, there's been lots of reactions and lots of conversations, and I spent lots of time answering emails and phone calls and inquiries and so forth because of it. But the negative repercussions, I think that's really hard to call. Certainly nationwide, the way the media has portrayed this as connecting it to the pro-life movement, I really feel that that will be damaging in the long run.
Well, I would think, I don't know that I should project my personal feelings on anyone else, I would think that anybody who is a serious thinking pro-life person has to feel very strongly about not murdering anybody, including abortion doctors. And I know that you hold that position. But if it seems to me that if there were a top five list of enemies of the unborn in the United States, that Dr. George Tiller might have been on that list. Consequently, I have mixed feelings about this. I would never advocate for the murder of anybody, and I think that this is a horrible event. But I can't help but think that there might be some babies alive today because George Tiller is no longer with us. Should I feel a sense of shame holding that perspective?
Well, I think that's kind of a natural feeling, as you said, that anyone with these kinds of convictions would have. There, no one certainly would condone what took place, but I think that thought can't help but creep in. So I wouldn't feel shame about that, having the thought. On the other hand, if you really think about that, not that many babies will be saved. I mean, his clinic is, as I understand it, back open or will be open soon. And although, you know, Tiller certainly was notorious, infamous among pro-life groups, certainly. But he, you know, the number of abortions he performed in relation to the number of abortions that are performed each day in this country was relatively small. I certainly don't want to minimize a single one of those abortions, but that that is the reality. This act, to justify it by saying, well, babies will be saved, that simply is not true. There was a rotation that Tiller had at his clinic, and two other abortionists were involved there. And as I understand from reading articles that have been written about that his practice, that he did that specifically so that the practice would continue whether he was around or not. So he's not going to be performing any more abortions, but abortions are still going to continue at a horrible, horrible rate, and late-term abortions that he was infamous for will continue as well.
I've heard in the media, I don't know if this is true or not, I've heard it reported in the media that the Tiller Clinic and only two other clinics in the United States were willing to do late-term abortions. Is that your understanding? Is that true?
It's true that you've read that in the media. But that New York Times, for example, has said that, one of about only three doctors in the country. But that it is not true. There are other abortion clinics around that do late-term abortions. The Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, and a lot of folks, pro-life groups, including Lutherans for Life, get our statistics from them in terms of numbers of abortion, who has abortions, and so forth. And they estimate that there are about 13,000 late-term abortions. That would be defined as an abortion done after 21 weeks of pregnancy. About 13,000 late-term abortions done annually. And Tiller's practice accounts for about 450 of those. So there are other places doing abortions. Jill Stanek, the nurse that in Chicago area, that was a whistleblower in that area in terms of late-term abortions being done, has an article that just came out over the weekend, looking at talking about some of the other places around the country that do late-term abortions. So more were being done than Tiller was doing, certainly.
I don't even know quite how to ask this question, but for the executive director of Lutherans for Life, is your life more complicated when it becomes known that George Tiller was a Lutheran and a church-going man handing out bulletins in church when he's gunned down? Does that create a complication for you?
Well, it certainly made life and has made life much busier for me, responding to the inquiries that I mentioned before. I guess it also presents, I believe, an opportunity to zero in on what the real problem is, and that is the silence, if you would, of the church on these issues, or a church that doesn't oppose abortion on demand and sanctions it and sanctions those who perform it. And a lot of times, in so much of the media and things that have been written about this and emails that I get, that's kind of overlooked. And I think it's opportunity for Lutherans for Life, for Lutheran pastors, to let people know, people in our pew that need to know what is going on, and that the church cannot and does not sanction this, and opportunity to uphold the God-given value of life. Let me quote. I have a quote here from Gary DeMar, writes for American Vision. Read a lengthy article, but at the end he said, George Tiller was a member in good standing in a Lutheran congregation. This is America's real problem. Now, DeMar was not condemning particularly the Lutheran church that Tiller was a member of, but the point he was making in the article is the real problem is that the Church of Christ, with one voice in this country, will not condemn abortion. And that's what Lutherans for Life focuses upon. We want to equip pastors and congregations and energize them to take this wonderful message of the gospel that we have and apply it to these issues so that people will know they're wrong, first of all, so that people will know where the true value of life comes from, and that's from the hands of our God, and so that God's people will raise up and bring their influence to bear on our culture.
Now, here's a story comes from the AP, written by Roxana Hegeman, and this is Dateline yesterday. The man charged with murdering a high-profile abortion doctor claimed from his jail cell that similar violence was planned around the nation for as long as the procedure remained legal, a threat that comes days after a federal investigation launched into his possible accomplices. A Justice Department spokesman said the threat was being taken seriously, and additional protection had been ordered for abortion clinics last week. But a leader of the anti-abortion movement derided the accused shooter as a fruit and a lunatic. Scott Roeder called the Associated Press from the Sedgwick County Jail, where he's being held on charges of first-degree murder and aggravated assault in the shooting of Dr. George Tiller 1 week ago. I know there are many other similar events planned around the country as long as abortion remains legal, Roeder said. He would not elaborate. What are your thoughts on that revelation?
Well, I think it's someone taking advantage and being opportunistic to spread his violent approach to these issues. I don't put a lot of stock in it, other than publicity for him, a means to publicize again his way of doing things. As you are well aware, and your listeners undoubtedly well aware, this action has been condemned by every pro-life group out there, and that Roeder has no connection with any pro-life organization, but more so with militant, anti-government kind of organizations. And I believe he's just simply taking advantage of his situation and the willing press in order to further that kind of thinking.
I don't know what it's like to be Dr. James Lamb on a daily basis. I know what I think it might be like, and I think it might be like that as you do your work day after day, year after year, that you exist within a kind of equilibrium, a tension between the pro-choicers and the pro-lifers, and that there are probably some fluctuations in that equilibrium, good days and bad days, but for the most part, the balance, the tension is the same. Did the balance shift on the occasion of the murder of George Tiller? Did the equilibrium change?
It changed momentarily. I think your description is very good, by the way. It changed momentarily, and I think the influence will be there, and will try to push us more towards that negative side, if you would, because we're pretty down here as a staff, and talked about this in our devotions for a couple of days.
You mean emotionally?
Yeah. Just because of the implications of it that everyone saw right away, and the mark that would be placed upon the pro-life movement. So it kind of sets you back in terms of all the work that you've been doing. And the perceptions then that come around. You know, it came on the heels of a couple of polls, Gallup for one, that, you know, indicated that more Americans identified themselves as pro-life than ever before. And now pro-life has another mark put against it, if you would, in this, and just kind of set things back. I'd be curious a follow-up poll asking the same questions now after this murder. So in that sense, yeah, it sets us back. It shifts the equilibrium in that direction. But then I think we always need to, as I mentioned earlier, take advantage of these kinds of things and opportunity to share what we share here at Lutherans for Life, opportunity to try to make people aware of the importance for us as Christians, for us as Lutherans, to be a stronger voice for life in our congregations, in our churches. Our churches and our people are key to helping shift things back the other way in this.
You don't have to be a Lutheran or even a Christian to be pro-life. I think there are more than a few people who can study the situation, even scientifically, and come to the conclusion that taking the life of an unborn child is immoral and unethical. Still, you, in your time, you've been a pastor. You know what it's like to shepherd people. You know what it's like to think through, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and wickedness in high places. Do you have a spiritual take or an invisible kingdom take on the George Tiller killing that transcends the civic realm, character, or quality of it?
I think the thing that comes to mind, and that we've discussed here, in fact, we are studying the Ephesians passage that you just quoted in our devotions now, understanding that, you know, reinforcing with staff here that our battle is not against the George Tillers, not against Planned Parenthood, but our battle is against Satan and his forces. And therefore, we have to put on the armor of God, as Paul goes on to say then, to prepare for and to engage in this spiritual battle. And so that's what we've been studying and talking about. And I think the spiritual dimension certainly is the evil involved here, but what the real struggle that we have is that this evil is seen as good, and this darkness is being portrayed as light. And that's what we need to overcome, is to help God's people see the darkness, the true darkness that this really is, and the true evil that is happening when we turn to the destruction of human life through abortion or assisted suicide, euthanasia. We're in effect turning to death as a solution to the problems of life, and people are seeing that as good. And that's a message we have to counter.
Let's take a telephone call here before we get to the bottom of the hour. Hi, Phil, you're on the Bible study.
Hello.
Hi, Phil.
just in case there's someone listening that thinks that maybe this will make other abortion doctors think twice before they have, before they do abortions, or maybe that this will scare other ones. I've never heard of any abortion doctor after someone getting killed saying, I'm going to quit now because I'm scared. Have you ever heard of anything like this ever?
I have not, Phil. Quite the opposite. It tends to motivate, energize, almost kind of a martyr complex reaction to it. I know I read some commentary on the sermon for the funeral for George Tiller was this past weekend, Saturday, I believe, and there were comments from people at the sermon who, you know, really eulogized him, and you know, the whole idea that, you know, the clinic's going to be opened and reopen and continue. So that is more of the sense that I'm getting than what you were mentioning, Phil.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Doctor, we just have a couple of minutes here before we get to the bottom of the hour. What would you say to somebody if you found yourself in conversation with a person who actually, with all his or her heart, believed that George Tiller was a hero and that he died a martyr? How would you address that?
Well, I think I would address it as we did in our statement that we put out on this, and that is that we are not to overcome evil with evil. And what he was doing was a great evil. But to fight that with evil is contrary to God's word and what he tells us. And we have something good to battle against this evil with, and that's the gospel.
Okay. When we get to the other side of the break here, I have an entirely different subject that I'd like to take up. Have you heard this news about there's a new test that can reveal the gender of a fetus?
Yes.
In early pregnancy? Is that a fairly new story as far as you know?
Well, the fact that we could do it has been around. What's new is should we be able to use it then to select the sex of a child or abort those that are not the boy or the girl that we wanted.
Not the proper gender.
Yeah.
$125, that's all it costs you. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Bible Study, Ask the Pastor, with Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Bad news, honey. It's a boy. I guess we'll have to abort him or her. Wow. We'll be right back.
I'm Diane.
I'm Roland.
On the next afternoon show, 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
Well, it might be Rodney Rathman with Today's Light, or it might be Scott Kinneman with Treasury of Daily Prayer, or it might be Wordplay.
Or it might be a news item that's been developing throughout the day, and we might give you an update on that.
You might just have to tune in and find out.
3 to 6, the afternoon show on AM 850 KFUO.
Hi, this is Dr. Jim Lamb. I'm the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, inviting you to celebrate the abundant life with us. That's the theme of our national conference to be held in St. Louis, July 24th through the 25th. Learn more about this God-given abundant life. Visit LutheransForLife.org for more information and to register for the conference.
Or call 888-364-LIFE.
Should you be watering your plants so much? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
Well,
Most of us know that a plant under stress is more likely to have problems with insects. If a plant is dry, for example, we water it, hoping it will regain its health and stand strong against insect attacks. But in the wild, no one shows up with a watering can when it gets dry. Ironically, most of us are trying to get our own plants to grow as well as they do in the wild. Now, science may have discovered a provision the Creator has built into plants to protect them from modest water stress. Severe water stress is bad for plants, but modest water stress actually aids plants in fending off insects. For example, a plant's leaves become tougher to chew and contain less nourishment when they have too much water. On the other hand, when leaves are short of water, they begin producing mild insecticides. Some plants also start producing waxes and other substances to protect themselves under stressed conditions. Once water stress is removed, plants can return to normal operation overnight. The Creator has widely provided for both plants and insects by means of this balance. When plants have enough water and can afford to provide food for insects, the insects may munch away undeterred. But when a plant has barely enough for itself, it is given the ability to fend off the insects.
Creation Moments exists to glorify God by presenting scientific evidence for the literal truth of the Bible. For more information, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Here at AM850 KFUO, it's our privilege to salute our day sponsors on this Monday, June 8th, 2009, Joe and Robin Groner. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to AM850 KFUO in celebration of their 7th wedding anniversary and in thankfulness to God for all the blessings in their marriage. Once again, we say thank you to Joe and Robin Groner of Valmire, Illinois, today's AM850 KFUO day sponsors, and happy anniversary.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis is pleased to announce its Summer Carillon Recital Series. Guests are invited to bring lawn chairs, blankets, and picnics to enjoy in the main quad or on the seminary grounds near Luther's statue. They go from 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday evenings in June. There will be an opportunity to meet the Carillonneur after the concert. Concordia Seminary is at 801 Seminary Place in Clayton. If you'd like more information about the Carillon Recital Series, contact Concordia Seminary.
Five zero five seven eight fifty one 800-730-2727. If you would like to join us here with a question for Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, who joins us here in this Ask the Pastor Hour. The story that I have comes from the New Zealand Herald News, believe it or not. And the story says this is Dateline today. By Brioni Soudan and Martin Johnston, the names of the authors. This is a new test, they say, to reveal the gender of a fetus in early pregnancy has sparked a row over whether it will lead to sex selection abortions. The American-designed IntelliGender test kit, which can be used from 8 weeks after conception, went on sale in Australia last month. Its Australian distributor hopes to launch it in New Zealand within a fortnight, which I think is New Zealander for 2 weeks. David Portnoy, managing director of Melbourne-based Early Image, said yesterday that he was negotiating with health products companies Douglas Pharmaceuticals and API to supply the kits to New Zealand pharmacies. He expected they would sell for about $125. They do not test pregnancy, so do not require state approval under the Medicines Act, unlike pregnancy tests. To use the new test, a pregnant woman mixes her urine with the kit's chemicals in the supplied container. If it turns green or black, the fetus is a boy. Orange or yellow indicate a girl. The kits are claimed to be 90% accurate, but because patents have not yet been issued, the maker will not reveal the supporting data or the science of how they work. I see storm clouds gathering here. Dr. Lamb, what do you see?
I see storm clouds as well. Another means of increasing the destruction of our children, and of parents wanting control over this gift of life, rather than allowing God to be in control, the giver of that gift. And we will certainly lead to more death.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Good morning, Rick. You're on the Bible study.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. And Dr. Lamb, God bless you and your staff, the people there, and for the work that you do.
Thank you, Rick.
The previous hour on the Bible study, there was some talk about our wonderful Creator making us in His image. And when it spoke of Adam and Eve, it was His image and His likeness. And when you talked about the principalities and powers of the air, this does far remove it from a George Tiller or Parenthood, people like that. What I wanted to ask was, had either one of you gentlemen know for sure if the President of the United States had called pro-lifers, all pro-lifers, potential terrorists?
Dr. Lamb?
I'm not aware of anything like that directly. Perhaps
okay.
What was being referred to was a Homeland Security report that came out talking about potential sources of terrorism, and they used the phrase, and I'm just going from memory here, radical right-wing groups, and then as part of the example, they gave such as pro-life groups, and there's been great uproar and controversy generated over that. So
mm-hmm.
Perhaps that was what you were hearing, Rick. I'm not aware of any
okay.
direct statement by the president.
Okay. By the time it got to me, it wasn't through a media source, and they were telling me, "Oh, the president has just said, has just declared all pro-lifers potential terrorists," and.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
But I see that that's not the case.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Any other comments, Dr. Lamb, on that question?
I don't believe so. I just that was an unfortunate when that came out, there was just unfortunate wording in there. And, then the Tiller thing comes along and just reinforces that notion that pro-life folks are terrorists, and they use terrorist activities. So the combination was very, very unfortunate.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Jim, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a comment when I first heard about Tiller. When the message came out, it came out that the family was really distraught that something like this happened in a place of peace and tranquility. And all I could think about was the babies in the womb on how they get invaded in their peace and tranquility and get butchered up and stuff. But don't you think a lot of the problems really in the fall lies with churches, because they don't preach that abortion is murder, and they don't preach the fact that God is going to send murderers to hell, unrepentant murderers, just like he's going to do liars and homosexuals and thieves and all of it, because they tickle the congregation's ears so they can get more pay in their pocket. Can you comment on that?
All right. We'll talk
Thank
about
you.
It. Dr. Lamb?
Well, we did touch on the whole idea of it's extremely important for the church to be a voice on these issues, and to call wrong things wrong and to call darkness darkness, as we said earlier. The church is called to proclaim that message, but also to balance that with the message of the gospel. So we're not calling upon the church to only rail against abortion and condemn those who do it, but also to bring the gospel to bear on these issues and the fact that we have a God, because of what he has done for us in Christ, we have a God that we can turn to when we're facing a crisis pregnancy, we're facing a difficult situation, and that we do not need to turn to the God of death as a solution to our problems. So it brings us opportunity not just to condemn, but also to apply the gospel as well.
All right, let's return to this gender test issue here.
I just quickly went online and plugged that in and found out it's available in this country at a particular drugstore franchise for $29.99.
Oh, so it's $125 in Australia and / New Zealand and $30 here in the United States.
Yes.
The story here says the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is worried about what the test might lead to. The concern we would have is that people would then terminate pregnancies on the grounds of sex selection, according to college president Dr. Ted Weaver. Anti-abortion group Voice for Life echoes this concern. Spokesman Bernard Moran said abortions for sex selection were a problem overseas, and the test would facilitate this in New Zealand. Certain ethnic minorities here might be more prone to use it, he says. Is this a wide-open problem, Dr. Lamb? Is there already legislation in existence that would prohibit abortion sex selection? For example, we often hear that abortions are only to be done in many states if the life of the mother is in danger or if her health is negatively impacted. I don't think you can walk in and say, I don't think you can. Oh, it's going to be a girl? Oh, well, that really negatively affects my health and my life, so I want an abortion. That would be illegal, wouldn't it?
Well, you kind of caught me off guard on being able to answer that question. Certainly, the phrase health of the mother, has such a broad application that I wouldn't say categorically that it could rule out that kind of thing. In terms of gender selection legislation, again, I am not aware. Doesn't mean something isn't happening out there, but I know there's been calls for such legislation because of what is happening and what is going on, and even before this came out, the whole idea of sex selection in China and forced abortions in China and so forth, that there have been calls in this country for such legislation. I'm just not aware if any is happening. Maybe somebody out there is. But.
Well, so this morning you Google this, I guess, or however, whatever search engine you used, and it's $30, and it's here in the United States. Did I just change your day, Dr. Lamb? Do you have work to do at Lutherans for Life?
Well, we always have plenty to do, but you've not really added to it. You've just gave me another angle to take here and something else to look at. And because I was not aware of this, I was aware of the test going on. I didn't know it was so readily available here. So, yeah, you've changed my day a little bit.
Is this bad news?
Yes, it is. It is bad news. That's why I didn't give the name of the store that it's available. I don't want to advertise it.
Does it constitute a setback?
Yes, it makes it just adds another complication things. It makes the darkness look so more much like the light. And here's just a simple way we can do this. And now that we can select gender, abortion has been billed for so long as a simple surgical procedure. I can see couples doing the test, deciding they would rather have the boy or girl, and using abortion to remedy that. I would pray that it would not follow that, but I'm afraid that it will.
Well, I guess I'm just naive. I guess I'm just too simple, but somehow it seems to me that sex selection abortions are so obviously immoral, so obviously unethical, that it would be rare, exceedingly rare. But I guess I'm just naive. Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're right. That it would be rare, certainly. And the immorality of this, yeah, people speak against it, and you know, it's pretty easy to, a lot easier to show that. But then, you know, 35 years ago, people spoke against quite openly and saw very readily the evilness of abortion itself, or basically any reason. But we've come a long way from that. And as I said, we're calling that darkness light now, and that evil good. So this is just another step, another way to step onto a slippery slope of making this more palatable.
Now, I want to ask you a question here, and I want to be as sensitive as possible. I have seen a YouTube video. I don't know how long it's been circulating. I'm under the impression it's fairly new. It's about 3.5 minutes long, and it is a kind of a dramatic presentation. It's acted out, if you will. And it begins with a husband and a wife who are obviously under a great deal of stress and pressure in their lives. It's time for the husband in his new job to hit the road, and that he leaves behind the wife with a number of things to attend to. She's obviously very stressed, and so she picks up her daughter and brings her daughter home, and then instructs her to go into her room and play. Overwhelmed, she's obviously contemplating something, and then she picks up a computer, a laptop, and she types an email to her mother. And she begins to explain to her mother just how much stress they have in their family and how difficult it's been with Katie, the little girl, because her teachers say that she's so slow and she seems to have some kind of learning disability, and this complicates everything. And then comes the payoff in the video, and that is that she and her husband have decided to terminate the little girl under the preschool termination program or something like that. The point of the video is, you know, if you kill your child before they're born, or if you kill the child slightly after they're born, you know, and they're still in the early stages, what's the difference? And I watched this video with interest. I didn't know where it was going for a good portion of it. I was trying to anticipate where it was heading, and when it got to the point, it hit me like a brick. Have you seen this video? Have you heard of it?
I have not seen the video, nor have I heard of it. I have used that same kind of analogy in presentations, or to answer the question when people talk about, what about severe abnormalities when they're discovered before a child is born, and I sometimes will say, well, what if your two-year-old falls and suffers a brain injury and has these abnormalities? Would we then kill the two-year-old to try to help people get rid of the distinction that we've built up between life prior to birth and life after birth? So I'm glad it got you to think, and hopefully it will help others erase that birth line distinction between the value of human life.
Well, the the video is quite powerful. It's not Hollywood professional,
mm-hmm.
but for a 3.5 minute presentation, I think it does a pretty fair job of dramatizing the point. And the video ends with the little girl crawling up into her mother's arms. And that's the first time you get to see the child's face. And it's very powerful. Are we fighting unfair there, Dr. Lamb? Because there's no place in the United States of America where you can take your 2-year-old or 3-year-old for termination because he or she is learning disabled or slow. This doesn't exist. And therefore, could it be that the pro-lifers, I think the people who put this together obviously are pro-lifers, aren't fighting fair? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's a very fair fight. I don't think the purpose is to help people see the absurdity, make the comparison. You know, it's what is in the video is absurd to people at this stage, and to help them then go backwards a bit in that child's life and to see that killing a child before birth because we can no longer afford a child or we don't think we can afford a child is equally absurd. So I think it's very fair play. Just good technique.
Let's take the minutes that remain here and talk a little bit about the organization Lutherans for Life. You have a big conference coming up this summer. Tell us where and when.
The conference is in July. July, it's kind of a 24-hour conference. July 24th through the 25th. We start at about 4 o'clock, July 24th, Friday afternoon, and end about the same time, 4 o'clock on Saturday. And it's in St. Louis. It's at the Doubletree Westport. You can register for that online or give us a call here at the Life Center for more information on that. Our keynote speaker on Friday evening is Bobby Schindler. Bobby Schindler is Terry Schiavo's brother. Terry Schiavo was the gal in Florida whose feeding tube was removed, and that made national news, and Bobby has been traveling around ever since talking about that whole situation. So that should be very, very interesting. And we have other speakers on Saturday and workshops on a variety of issues. The theme is Celebrate the Abundant Life, and the point is that the abundant life, as Jesus talks about that in John 10:10, is not necessarily a life of abundance, but the abundant life for the Christian is one following the shepherd. And that the Terry Schiavos of our lives, the unborn babies, people with disabilities, they can have and do have abundant lives because it's our God and what he does and is able to do in and through us that makes our life abundant.
What can the people who attend the conference expect to experience? They move around to various seminars or speakers other than the keynote speaker, lots of choices, or is it pretty much one large gathering most of the time?
Saturday morning we have two plenary sessions, so there's two large gatherings where everyone will be listening to these speakers, and then beginning late in the morning on Saturday, we start workshops, and there's a series of three opportunities to hear workshops, and there's 10 different workshops in all. So you can do a combination of a couple of those throughout the late morning on Saturday and then throughout the afternoon as well. So you have lots of choices and opportunities.
Is there a cost associated with the conference?
Yes, there's a cost. That information would be available online, but for an individual person to come to the conference, if you're not a member of Lutherans for Life, that's $95, but that includes the meals that are part of the day as well. There's a prayer breakfast on Saturday morning, a family multi-generational bash, as what I like to call it, that we're going to start off things with on 4 o'clock on Friday. Just we're going to have singing and celebration of God's great gift of life, and all ages are invited to come to that. Then we'll have a worship service, and then move into our banquet and the keynote speaker on Friday.
And now, forgive me if I missed this. Do you personally do any speaking or teaching at the conference?
Yes, I always preach at the worship service. In the past, we've had a closing worship service on Sunday. We've shortened the conference this year, so there's nothing on Sunday. So we're having an opening worship service on Friday afternoon. So that I will be preaching at that. And I'm also teaching one of the workshops this year as well.
So the best way to access information, data from Lutherans for Life is to go to the web. Is that correct?
Yes. That's the best way to register.
LutheransForLife.org. LutheransForLife.org. Telephone number is 888-364-LIFE. 888-364-LIFE. And you accept donations, Dr. Lamb, do you?
Most readily. We certainly do. Part of our conference is, part of the celebration is our 30th anniversary, 2009, of Lutherans for Life. So we have special 30th anniversary fund drive going on. So anyone who hasn't contributed before or wants to take advantage of a special time and a special opportunity to support this ministry, this is a great time, 2009.
And what's the easiest way? There might be somebody, I mean, we go around the world and certainly around the country, there might be somebody saying, well, I can't make it to St. Louis, but I would like to make a donation. What's the easiest path to make that happen?
Easiest path would be go right to our homepage of our website, and off on the left there, you'll be able to click and pledge. We'll make it easy for you to give a contribution to Lutherans for Life.
It is easy to do that these days.
Yes.
Dr. Lamb, thank you for the time. Thank you for sharing some thoughts here on the subjects of the day. And we look forward to talking to you again. And we'll welcome you to St. Louis at the end of July.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
The Bye. Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, headquartered in Nevada, Iowa. You can find them at lutheransforlife.org. Again, the telephone number, 888-364-LIFE. Tomorrow, we continue in the book of Colossians. Our guest will be Pastor John Lukomsky.
Listen to Chuck Ratherton guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.